Welcome to another exciting episode of Sex and Horror Podcast with author Stacey Grunner and
Hotel Renee. Hey guys.
Renee, hello. Thank you for joining us.
We're gonna tune in. We got Dicey in a robe in her hotel room.
I don't have a bra, so don't look too close. They on my knees. We are still on two different continents, but we love doing the podcast so much that we are still bringing it to you all. We're still serving it up hot and on the platter. And so I had gotten in the bed. Like, I took my wig off, all my clothes, and I got to bed like, all right, fine. But we're gonna pull it off. So if you see any of my tracks at the top or whatever, it's just because I didn't put it on sturdy. And yeah, those are the bags. But I am 7 hours ahead. What's going on, Chantel?
Girl, it's just a crazy day up in Houston, as usual. we got to speak a little bit earlier, and I got to hear a little about your trip, but I think you should update everybody real quick.
Oh, okay. Well, right now I'm in Rome. Let me pull it back. So, oops. See, I'm going to need a bra if I'm going to pull it back that far. I'm trying to, like, I feel like I'm all up in the camera and then yours is back. Okay, so I have gone to Venice and then Florence. Now I'm in Rome and I'm going to change hotels here because this hotel is so far out. And it's like $100 one way every time I get ready to go somewhere. So I'm changing hotels tomorrow when I check out of here, and then I'm going to Amalfi Coast. But so that I can squeeze everything in and still fly out of Venice on time, I'm going to just make Amalfi Coast like a one-day trip. But I've been doing excursions. Everything is just so beautiful. It's so great to be, you know, like I was telling you earlier, it's so nice to be in an area where the arts are so respected. Like, you know, historically, they love the arts and they have preserved them very well. And Rome is just so majestic. And Florence, I think at the time I described it as, I don't remember the word and I used, but how splendid or something. However it comes out at the time, those are my sincere feelings on it. I'm seeing all the famous sites like the David statue in Florence, and in Rome I toured Vatican, which is a whole different country behind.
She caught on fire. No, I'm just kidding. She caught on fire. I said.
No, but you know, that is an interesting aspect too. Like in Florence, it was all, I probably saw about 500 paintings of just Jesus and the Virgin Mary. And then once, you know, I saw like a John the Baptist, I was like, well, okay, well, at least they switched it up. And here is all of the popes and, you know, so it's been something. But it's so amazing because these are things that I've studied and read about, and to be able to see it, you know, I won't go into everything that we've discussed, but it's so inspiring. Now, when I went to Cartagena in January, it was a beautiful vacation. It was a lovely beach. Everything's cheap there. But I can't say I was inspired. You know, it was relaxing. It was being in a very peaceful, tranquil state. Here in Italy, my brain is just not turning off. I'm just constantly like, oh my God. And I'm spending time in my head thinking about different things. So from a writer's perspective, the muse, I don't have a particular muse, but the city and the architecture and everything is a muse in and of itself. It's just, you know, making me think, which I suppose is supposed to be the benefit of traveling, right? You get to experience different cultures and it gets your mind thinking outside of your own perspective, your own way of doing things, your own way of life. And I'm just really loving it. I really am.
That's so great.
Yeah.
And the food, do you really like it?
What's that?
The food. Have you noticed it's different?
I like the food, but I can't say that I'm a foodie because I'm not too particular. But when I do fine dining, I pretty much like it anyway. You know, if I'm it, it's it's either good to me or it's bad. And then there's some things that are like, Now, I haven't really had a feeling, you know what I mean? Like, I can get some of that in some of the restaurants in Houston that I go to. But it is, I am trying a lot of different foods. So there are some things that I probably never would have tried if I weren't here. So there's something, sometimes I go to places and they just bring me out stuff to try. And I don't even know what it is, but I'm like, okay. And then, you know, so I have a chance to kind of experience whatever it is they're telling me I'm eating. It's like, oh, okay, that's a different touch. In terms of pizza, I had some pizza in Florence that was, it was good. And that's because I had a private guide that took me to this particular place. I had some pizza here in Rome yesterday before I was going to the Colosseum. And it was just okay. Like the meat, the seasoning, like I didn't really taste much. The crust was nice and everything, but the seasonings were not popping like it was with the other pizza that I had. I can't say that all the food's just been great, but I'm immersing myself in the culture and just trying it anyway. I'm just trying everything.
Sure, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
I bet when you get to the coast, try to eat something seafood, because I bet it's going to be awesome. It's like right there. Is it by which ocean is it next to?
All I know is Amalfi Coast.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. You can tell we did well in geometry.
Yeah.
That's not geometry. See?
Naples and Sorrento, I believe, if I'm pronouncing it, Sorrento, all of those are right there together with Amalfi, and they all kind of make up Amalfi Coast.
That's awesome.
And the pictures that I've been following for so many years is what makes me say I cannot go all the way to Italy and not go check out that area.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. And today, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but I logged in and did some work. And so, like, there have been times when I've been home doing the Zoom hearings online, and it's like, you know what? I can be doing this from anywhere in the world. And so that's exactly what I did today. I logged in, and I logged into court, and I handled my business, and I logged back out. But if we can continue, like, we can do the podcast from anywhere, you know, like, we can record. But that's the beauty of having the technology that we have right now. We can be anywhere and have the same experiences as if we're right. You know, we're a telephone call away from each other, or a video away from each other. And I love that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm trying to squeeze my cat into overalls.
Let me see that.
It's going to be cute, everybody. Hold on. This is his Halloween. Look at this.
Oh, my goodness.
They're like little Chucky overalls. He's so cute. I got to put the back on, but look at the little pockets.
That's so cute. I'm sorry, Dave. They can't see that.
Y'all got to get online to see it. It's a special, special vision.
And I'm looking there. It looks like the desk that's right here is shading my eyes. So if you happen to be watching this, I'm sorry, but I'm not set up very well in here. I'm just in my hotel room, and I just, you know, got the thing situated, but it's not the best lighting. Oh, well, we're just going to rock and roll.
That's right. You know how we do it around here.
Yeah. So what you been up to, Chantel? Update us.
You know, not a whole lot. Just been trying to get that little book published I just put out for today, Friday the 13th.
Happy and, 13th. Yeah.
Friday the 13th. And it's been awesome. You know, October is crazy. Anyone who follows both of us knows, there's events coming up. There's all kinds of parties I'm being invited to, which you're invited to as well. I just haven't had a chance to even talk with you about anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of stuff going on, and I'm just trying to keep up with it all. And, of course, at the end of the month, on actual Halloween, is the ancestral holiday, Samhain. And so I need to do a little planning for that, but it's going to be low-key. I'm going to keep it on my little celebrations low-key. But if anybody's listening and you're interested, look up Samhain. It's spelt like Samhain. And you can actually do something nice for your loved ones that have passed on, or your ancestors who you have come from, and honor them on that day. And it's also, of course, a day before the Day of the Dead, which all kind of coincides together. And so, yeah, it's really, it's a great month, I think. And then, of course, tomorrow, Saturday, is the eclipse here. I don't know if you'll have it there, but we're having it here tomorrow.
Okay. I have no idea. I don't know what's going on. I just book my skirt and I go.
If it looks dark out, don't try to find the sun, because if you look at it, it could hurt your eyes.
Oh, okay. So what time your time?
Well, it starts our time at 10:30.
Okay, so that's 7:30 a.m. here.
Oh, you'll be in bed then. But it takes like an hour or two for it to fully, like, it'll only be in the full eclipse mode for a few minutes.
No, it's not. It's 5:30 a.m. Sorry. Hold on. 10:30 p.m.
A.m.
Oh, 10:30 a.m.? Okay. Ah! Yeah, 5. That's 5:30 a.m. And I... Okay, yeah, 5:30 a.m. Sorry, I had my times wrong, but okay, so an eclipse, is that tomorrow, you said?
Yeah, tomorrow, Saturday here.
Ah, okay. Tell me about your book. Tell us about your new release.
Well, actually, it is I wanted to have the Friday the 13th, you know, unlucky, you know, superstitious kind of feel, but I also wanted to bring in Halloween since we are in October. So it is there's poems as well as some true, like, history of the date and why the 13th is considered unlucky. We have I don't remember how many short stories. I've got 6 stories in there myself. And then I have 5 other authors that have contributed as well. So we got some great stuff, some couple of really chilling, like, leaves you thinking stories. A feel-good ghost story, a really creepy, weird, you know, that one's mine, a possession story, and then a love letter that will leave you having a little icky feeling, but it's great.
Nice. So, congrats. I'm very
there's
happy.
Only, I think, one revenge in there, one revenge story, but yeah, you'll love it. It's a lot of fun.
Good for you. Good for you. And congrats to everyone who submitted or who has a story in the anthology. Amazing. Okay. So tonight we're going to talk about sex education.
Yes.
As you know.
This is a show.
Huh?
This is a show, guys.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're going to talk about the show and we're going to do some sex education.
But that's why there's a bed. No, I'm just kidding.
That's why there's a bed over here. To my left. You're right. So, sex education, this was season 4. And the final season, right?
I don't know. Is it the final season?
I think I saw that it was supposed to be the final season. Let me see. Season 4... before we get into, you know, what we thought of it, tell me how would you rate it out of 10?
This season by itself, I'm going to give it like an 8.
An 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, according to IMDb, it's got that 2019 to 2023 thing on there. So okay. This is it. Yeah, this is supposed to be it. So I remember before, what was your rating?
Like an 8.
An 8 out of 10. Okay. What about, okay, how do you think this stacked up to seasons 1, 2, and 3?
You know, of course, season 1 was, it was such a new thing, a new idea. This young kid, mother is a sex therapist, and he kind of has grown to have her perspective on things, if you will, and then he starts his own little clinic, and it was a really kind of fun, you know, we got to know everybody. I love season 1 definitely hooked me and I was into it, but even though they're not necessarily American characters, because this is done in Europe, the show, I still felt like I don't know, like the girlfriend who was his partner in the beginning.
Maeve.
Yeah, what? Maeve. I love her. She's great, but her storyline was just a little much this time. I felt very much too much whininess about it. I got why they were doing what they were doing because there was a lot of stuff going on because of her mother. I don't know how much we want to spoil it, but there's her mother's a rough mother throughout the whole series. Mm-hmm. And I think they probably showed in the previews that she passes in this one. And it just felt like they dealt with it a little bit. I don't know, maybe it was just me, but I felt like that made it a little harder for me to get through because I felt like some of it wasn't natural. Like there could have been a different reaction to what was happening. And the relationship between her and our lead guy, it just, everything felt so forced to me this season. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. But as far as sex education goes, this season will educate you and maybe make you more confused if you are trying and struggling to understand the new gender roles in our society. But the show has embraced that fully and really gives you, I felt like, a really good overall picture of what today's youth is creating and going through when it comes to sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen another show do what they've done. So I found that very interesting. You know, I'm curious to see as time goes on, what the overall community of the transgender community thinks of what they've done with it, because I'm hoping there will be no one offended by it. But I found it like very educational. There was a lot of struggles there. We had this, that was the part that brought the rating up for me, was what one trans character was going through and the emotional turmoil that character was going through and what could have happened as a result of it, but the community pulled together for that individual. So that was like, that's what kind of kicked my rating up for the season, because I felt like, oh, well, that was real. Mm-hmm. That felt real, you know? What about you?
I enjoyed it. And there was, like with a lot of shows, when there's a long break, like I can't even really remember much from the other seasons, but I, unless they mention somebody like Jakob, who was his mom's ex-boyfriend. They were supposed to be partners, and then she ended up being pregnant for someone else. But when she mentions Jakob, and it's like, oh, that's right. I remember there was a guy named Jakob on here before. But
relationship I missed. I really liked the connection of Jakob's daughter with her son. But of course, that's gone, you know.
Yeah. There was a lot that was in previous seasons that was not in this season. But overall, I thought they did a great job. I do love the inclusivity with this show. And they had some lessons in there throughout. So they're educating. The sex education is not just within the characters on there for entertainment purposes, but they're educating the viewers. So I remember that there was one part where they were looking for them, one of the transgender characters, and they had a whole dialogue that was about looking for them. Where are they? You know, and I felt that was a very educational moment for people to see how to reference someone that is trans, that or non-binary, I guess in this case, non-binary, someone who does not go by she or him or her or his. And they had a whole conversation using they, them, theirs. And I was like, oh, that's brilliant. Because so many times people say, well, I don't know. And I don't understand what I'm supposed to say. And they just showed us. They took it and they ran with it. And I was following the conversation. I was like, oh, yeah, that flows. If you just get it in your mind that they go by they, them, then that's how you refer to them. So I really could appreciate that education lesson for the viewers. There were so many times in this season that I laughed. Like, I laughed out loud. I was bawling.
Oh, and gosh. Some really good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That very first time was when our main character He was trying to explain that he was a sex therapist, the original sex therapist.
Yeah.
Because Otis, his name is Otis, so he has some competition in this season, which is different. In the previous seasons, he was that guy. And the only person, other sex therapist, was his mom. In this season, he has competition. And he took the time to explain to them, and he had a visual, a board, and his nudes end up on that board.
It's so hilarious.
And I was dying. I was dying because it was so, like, it was such, it could have been such an embarrassing moment. But this is another thing that I love about the show. All of them are so weird, you know, like it's a community of, and I'm using quotes, I'm using air quotes, weirdos, because I don't think anybody is really normal. But here they embraced everybody's uniqueness and differentness. So it's kind of like, oh, that's embarrassing. But anyway, and then they just go on about their business. So I could really appreciate that. Yeah, I love that. But there were so many moments on here. The sister, the aunt that came, she had some moments that had me dying too, especially when she was, you know, throwing up and they were cussing each other out and everything. I thought it ended on a good note. I did not like Maeve. I don't think I ever liked her. But I don't like the main guy either.
Otis?
No, I don't really like him. I know. I love the characters themselves, but not... I mean, like, I like the situations they're placed in, but I don't necessarily like them, I guess, you know. Or it might just be the actors. I don't like the actors.
Well, I've always liked Otis because I felt like he was naturally awkward, and that's what the role needed. But I mean, the new O, she goes by O, the therapist in this season, his competition, she was really funny and good.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like in many ways, Otis was very immature. He was more mature than his other classmates, so that made him a decent sex therapist. But in this particular season, you're really, when O starts talking, she really can relate people to real life situations that are rooting the issue of whatever has happened to them sexually. And I don't think Otis ever was able to do that. So I think that that was something that was good to show, because, you know, shows like this, you think, oh yeah, this is a lot of, especially young people, they're like, oh, this is good information. This is, you know, stuff I need to learn. But you don't, it's just like with anything, you pick up a book to read it, you should know where that source of information is coming from. And if it's information that's going to be helpful. And so I think that they did a good job showing us that it wasn't that Otis was bad or wrong with what he was doing. He just wasn't as mature throughout this time as we had thought maybe he was, considering that he was a, you know, it's kind of like showing Eggshell White up against Cloud White. And you think, oh, yeah, it's definitely a little bit not as white. But then when you put it up against pure white, you're like, oh, both of them aren't really, you know? So I'm just saying that as an example, like, there's always something more that you might find in somebody else. And, it's important to consider the source when you're looking for any kind of guidance in life. So I think that they did that well.
Yeah. I really enjoyed what they did with the guy who was in a wheelchair.
Yes.
I love, and I think he's probably my favorite character now.
He's a really good actor.
Between him and Eric. I love Eric. Eric is the black flamboyant guy.
Oh, I love Eric.
Yeah, so Eric is probably my favorite. And then I like the guy who's in the wheelchair. He is just so clever and he's funny. And I love that they have, you know, the inclusive part. They have him in there. They also had a deaf girl this time. And so they brought out those issues with sexuality and how, you know, how it relates to the other people in this group. This is the sort of, these are the way I write my characters, where I include everybody and everybody is a mix of everything. So I love to see that represented. Then we have another guy who is an athlete, and he has two moms, and he wanted to find his father. And so that whole conversation comes up, then his mom's sexuality comes up, you know, so everybody's sexuality is a part of this show. It's just kind of interwoven, which I think is real life. But that was the part that had me laughing too, when he had this chick was going down on him, and you know, there's a moment that they have there and he keeps flashing to the balls. And so that
because he has a health crisis.
Yeah. So that his reaction had me really going too. This is a show, though, that I will say that while I enjoyed watching it, usually when I come to the end of a series that I've been watching for a while, I've grown attached to the characters, like Sons of Anarchy, like Orange is the New Black, like Being Human. I'm just thinking of the emotional component I have when I'm about to lose these people, Shameless, you know. If I've been with them for a long time, it's heartbreaking. It's like saying goodbye to my people. I don't feel that way. I do not feel that way about Sex Education. Not at all. I will not miss them. It's enjoyable to watch. I like what they brought to television. But okay, now it's bye. All right, fine. Goodbye. On to the next show.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like you said, there are a few people that you'll always remember their character. Like, yeah, I like that character and I like what they did. But I didn't ever feel like the only person I felt like on there, the only character I felt like on there that was a person, was a guy in the wheelchair. Like he was always who he was. He was so grounded. And I mean, the actor was just fantastic. But even Maeve felt wishy-washy. The best friend that had gotten that guy who just her in the bus, I can't remember her name. She felt real wishy-washy.
Yeah.
And Otis, I mean, even Otis did too. And so, I mean, even the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I never felt like there was anybody in that series that I could say, oh, yeah, they were so great. They were so, like, unique. And the only one would, and he got such a little role that we didn't see him that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was interesting, like you mentioned this, the when they were getting the top surgery for her, for them, sorry. When they were going through the transition period and seeing the turmoil of not feeling comfortable in the body, like they do not feel like themselves because they're not in the body that's matching what's up here. So that, I thought that was beautifully done, but I'm not in that position, so I can't speak for that community. So I can't say that they did it right. You know, until it feels like it was right, but I don't know, and I can't say for them. Hopefully, like you said, hopefully they're not offended. But it felt like they knew how they were handling it properly, I think.
Yeah.
I also loved how it ended with mom having a conversation with the actual father and him being completely clueless.
Yeah.
He's completely clueless. So, I mean, that was an interesting way to end it. I'm glad that things worked out the way they did with Otis and Maeve, because that didn't look like that was really going to be
that relationship felt very forced.
Yeah. There's no way that they're going to have a happily ever after.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
Is there anything that you felt like? So I mentioned how I felt like it was teaching people like how to talk about they them. Is there anything that you felt like it taught you about in sex education? Like there was an education part for you at all?
You know, I think the overall series, I could say, leaves me with the conclusion, it doesn't matter how you feel about your activity with sex or your experience with it. It doesn't matter how they make you feel. Like, it doesn't matter if you're embarrassed by it, if you're proud of it. It doesn't matter. What matters is that if you have troubles or worries or concerns – you should, you know, take into consideration that you may need to find someone to speak to about it. Or at least at the very least, speak to your partner and don't be afraid or embarrassed by it, because there are so many things going on. You know, obviously, probably the most, what's the right word, a private thing in any human's life is their sexuality. And so that's one of the hardest things for people to discuss, even with their partners. But I feel like that this particular show made it okay and made you understand that when you have an open dialogue, it can make things better. Even with the father, who was the principal in the beginning, stick in the mud, you know, and he was really uptight, didn't want to talk about sex, didn't want to, you know, and then his son turns out to be bi, and he freaks out, but then he loses his whole family over it. And then he realizes, oh, okay, this is changing my life. If I don't change who I am or my perspective, I've lost this.
Yeah, I really feel like he had the best story arc. He had the best character growth out of everyone. We see him completely. Is he perfect? No, but he is working on it. He took accountability and he was getting therapy and he was working on being a better person. I thought that was very beautiful for him. He went from a villain.
Go ahead.
He went from a villain. He went from a guy that everybody can hate to one that's like, oh, look at you doing better. Now you're able to sit here and let your hair down with your ex-wife and your son, you know. So I felt like that had some promise that they would get back together and that they could be a family again. And I thought that that was a beautiful story for him.
Yeah, and I think that was the important thing that a lot of shows don't know how to broach. And it's not just the one component of how he was as a father, finding out his son was bi or gay or whatever it is. In the beginning, I think he said gay, but then he decided bi. But also on the other hand, as a man and dealing with his life, realizing like, this is just my pride that I'm holding on to. And if I do that, I'm going to, and it was just this really good development of him finding acceptance of what his family chose to do with their lives and believe and be, and being able to respect their boundaries and who they were and willingly change, because there's just, you know, so much of that doesn't happen in families. And you just lose years. Like, I've heard of, actually there was a show, there's a show on Netflix, I think it is, or Prime, I can't remember which one, but it's about a wrestler from Mexico, and he was real flamboyant, and he was gay, obviously, but it's Mexico is, especially 20, 30, 40 years ago, I mean, they were, like, killing people when they told them they were gay. It was not acceptable. So this wrestler became extremely famous because he was very flamboyant, and just did all these really crazy things during his matches. And he wrestled the top wrestler in all of the country. And he was very respectable, and they were respectable to each other. And so at the end, he goes into the cafe to see his father, of course, who shunned and disowned him. And finally, he reaches out. And at this point, he probably was in his really late 40s by then. So his father's a very old man. And he just said, I stopped reaching out to you because you were so you hated me for what I was. And then the father said, well, I didn't reach out to you because I thought you hated me for how I treated you. Mm-hmm. So they lost all those years.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Even though the father had grown a bit, he was still too prideful to try to fix it when he still had the time. And right. So that's what I liked about this, is this man was like, okay, I'm not going to lose any more time to this, you know, and that is important because you never know.
Yes, yes. That's so true, because I remember when I was watching him, I was thinking of all the stubborn ass men that I know, the stubborn husbands, the stubborn fathers, They would never take accountability. They would never turn their life around. They're never going to come back and apologize. But this man, this character that they wrote, is doing that. And I thought that was something beautiful to see. Do it while you still have chance with your family.
Yep.
You know, while you're still alive and they're still alive. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed trying to make apologies. And don't go to your grave an asshole. So I liked his story, his character development. But, you know, I was sitting here thinking also with Eric. Eric's character had significant growth too, because he was in the closet. All these scenes, he was in the closet. And this was a big deal for him to come out to his church, to his community. And I think it was a big deal for his community. They didn't accept it right away, but I loved how his mom was like, "That's it, baby." You know what I mean? Like, he got somebody in his corner. I think that made a big difference, too. Kind of, it kind of gave him some courage to just be himself. But I thought it was remarkable that the church did come around and at least try to take that step. Now, that's kind of fairy tale-ish, because that's another thing that I don't know that that would actually happen. But it was beautiful to at least see it, and hopefully someone is watching it and it can spur the thought that, hey, maybe we should reach across the aisle. Perhaps we should be more loving towards communities that even if you think it's sinful, you can't, is it really going to help by saying, no, you can't come here, no, you can't be baptized? Or would you be able to save more souls if you feel like it's a sin by actually showing them love? So whether that really happens in real life or not, I think it was great to see that depicted. That gives me hope that it might be something that people think about. I don't know that that's the target audience that would be watching it. They probably wouldn't know. But, it's just something that, you know, if it's put out there, then maybe it is something that could be in our 3D reality, too.
Yeah.
Another thing that I thought was interesting, and I don't really think that they developed her character in this series so much, but they showed some flashbacks that showed her growth, and that was the ex-girlfriend, Otis's ex-girlfriend. She is such a beautiful girl, the one that they called Pee Baby. She was she peed, you know. She had this story, and O had ousted her or had bullied her with these other girls when she was young. So I don't think they really honed in on it so much, but I thought it was amazing the growth, the strength of this girl, you know? And it was evident when she went to, they were trying to get some information, the camera, they were trying to view on the camera. And the person that had the access for them was treating her like she was a celeb, like, oh my God, I'm so happy to meet you and everything. And I think that is amazing. The way she has come up from being bullied, that is the ultimate level up. Like when you see her and she's been a snooty brat this whole time, this girl has lived through some shit, you know? And for her to own it and be like, you know what? I mean, she could have cowered away and been timid and been afraid to be around people and everything, but no, she owned it. She became that girl and she rocked it. She's the most beautiful girl out of everybody on the show, and other people are looking at her or looking up to her and are inspired by her, which kind of brings me to the canon that happened to her that was so hurtful when she was younger. Had she not gone through that, would she have risen to where she is now?
And probably not, because even she said it was that taught me you had to be what people wanted you to be and not what they don't want you to. They don't want to see that you're poor. They don't want to see that you have secondhand clothes. They don't want to see those things. They want to see this amazing, thin, you know, beautiful, you know. So she was like, that shaped who she became. And the show for her character had to become more humbled, had to become more human. So she went from being this perfect thing to becoming more human through the show. Mm-hmm. I guess when we think about it, when you look at all these characters as we bring about each one of them, they had really strong storylines that surrounded these very shallow characters. Mm-hmm. Like Otis and Maeve, you know, that they're, it's not that they're shallow, but their character depth wasn't so much. Mm. However, everyone around them had extreme character depth. And so you saw a lot of development around them, which was a clever way to bring it about so people could assimilate the information easier. It's more palatable that way for people. And it's truly what it says it is. It's a sex education.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They tried to give us some issue, you know, to make us feel for Otis and his sexual issue, where he couldn't actually go through sex because of the relationship he has with his mom. I didn't quite make that connection, though.
Yeah,
I didn't quite understand how. I mean, it's not for me to understand. He had an issue with sex, and that's that. You know, and he had to work through it like everybody else did. But I didn't quite understand how his mom being upset because of how his dad did him had anything to do with sex, why he was had difficult performing. I didn't get that. They were trying to make a correlation, you know, whatever. Otis is just a weird guy. And yeah. he's just going to have somebody that's okay with that weird shit. And yeah. And that's that.
I agreed.
So in this particular season, the sex therapist, his mother, the original, he calls himself the original sex therapist. His mom is the original. But anyway, the original sex therapist, and I love her. I love Jillian Anderson anyway. I have loved, not Jillian, Kylie, what's her name? Yeah, Jillian Anderson. What am I
about to say?
Yeah, it's right. Jillian Anderson. Yeah, I just thought for a minute. But I have loved every role that she's played. And each role is so different from the other one. Like, she's that actor where I believe she is whomever she's playing, and it's not the same person that she brought in the last thing that she was in. So I will really miss her, maybe seeing her in this role, but I'm looking forward to whatever she does next. I'm gonna watch anything Jillian Anderson is in. But Jillian, she had this call-in. So in this season, she started doing a call-in radio station, and people were calling in with their sex questions. And she was answering them on the spot. She had a rocky go of it, but she kind of found her way at the end. So I thought that would be something interesting for us to do tonight. We're not live, so we're not going to have anybody calling in. And I don't want to be responsible for giving anybody bad advice either. Anyway. But I figured you would be our Jillian Anderson. What's her name on the show? Our Jean Milburn, Dr. Jean Milburn. And this is for entertainment purposes. Anybody has any real issues, go see a real therapist, okay? We're just having fun with sex education. I'm going to ask a few questions, and you just give me, you know, whatever your answer is.
I'm going to give you all my best PhD answer.
I will try not to make it too tough, you know. When I did some research on this, the number one thing that sex therapists get the question of is, you know, is this normal? This is something I'm into. Is this normal? And you'll find out that no matter what it is that you're into, there's somebody else into the same thing. There's nothing that is completely out of, it may not be like traditional, but it is all normal, you know. There's a range of what is considered ideal, like, but there's a, you know, there's...
But then there's different ideal scenes for different things people are in. You know what I mean? Like, in the S&M world, there's an ideal concept of what that is. And in the, you know, church community, there's an ideal way you conduct yourself sexually, you know, so there's ideal for every situation. Look at that, I already became her.
Yeah, see, you already in it. There you go. You're in that mode. And ideal is probably not the right word. I don't mean to use that, but I don't want to use normal either because, you know, I don't want to use normal and abnormal. So traditional, when I use the word traditional, I'll just stick with that. Whatever the traditional is. Doesn't have to be traditional as long as, and we will say that as long as it's legal and consenting.
Yes.
Legal and consenting. Legal and consenting always.
This is sexy.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say we have a couple that they're in their 60s and... And the man is having trouble maintaining an erection because he's over 50 and he's having some problems with that blood flow. Let's say he has heart issues. So that's going to restrict what he is able to take. What does he do? What do they do as a couple to continue to have a fruitful sex life?
Well, you know, this is what I would say. I'm channeling this character. Okay, not only intercourse is a way for somebody to have a sexual experience. So someone may actually find it arousing to see their partner in certain outfits or perhaps acting out certain things. Or perhaps they could get into something new together, like the tactile sensation of fur or smells of some sort could, you know, like very savory foods or something very sweet and decadent. There's so many things that one could actually find pleasure in sharing with their partner. That's what I would say.
Yeah, and that's a great answer because one in this that I was reading, that is exactly what they said. The experts said that, you know, sometimes just tactile stimulation, like if you enjoy a rub on your arm, some people enjoy like a head massage. Like there are so many other things you could do to bond physically without it having to be penetration. That's so true. Yeah, look at you. You ready? Now, you're ready.
This is my answer as me. Tie him down. Get his tongue to stick out good and just do it, get your business done, and then you can release him.
See, I said for entertainment purposes, so we here's a disclaimer, we are not licensed therapists. I'm licensed to practice law. Chantel is licensed to do cosmetology, but we are not licensed sex therapist. Okay, so this is for entertainment purposes only. Okay, and good answer. You were ready. Okay, now in this show, they brought up a lot of different issues, right? And there was one scene where Otis, he did not have sex with his ex-girlfriend, but just he fell asleep with his arm around her, you know, they were in bed. So they slept together, literally, even though they didn't have sex. And he felt guilty about that. And he ended up confessing to Maeve. There's a lot of different things that are under the umbrella of sex. But do they cross the line into cheating? You know, if there's not, like, how far do you go before it's considered cheating? So I'm going to bring that to you. What about sexting? So you're having a conversation with someone that's not your partner. You have a partner, there's someone that's not your partner, and you start asking them, like, what are you wearing? And they're like, well, you know, I'm in the bathtub thinking about you, or whatever. So you have some sort of sexting. Is that cheating?
Well, I would say, okay, I gotta channel the therapist here.
Did you think, hold on, before we get to that, did you think Otis cheated when he was lying with her?
You know, I did not think physically anything was wrong, but because it bothered him so much, I felt like there might have been something there for him, not necessarily towards the female he was in the bed with, but that he was feeling that comfortable with a different female and not thinking of his partner said a lot about where his mind was.
Okay, all right, that's what I
would say.
Okay, now back to sexting. Is that cheating?
You know, I'm going to say intention is always the driving force in somebody before they act. And so if somebody is intending on creating a sexual arousal with another human that is not their partner, I believe it's kind of like, and this is an extreme extreme example, so please remember this is the sex and horror podcast. They say like a rapist peeps before he rapes, because it's still basically taking advantage of somebody, you know, and building his confidence to get to that point. Well, I feel like sexting is a step one is taking towards either having an outside relationship of their whatever other their marriage or whatever they're involved in, or it is a way that they are going to become, it's an addiction. It's a feeling of doing something wrong. And then even with that person, if they end up with that person, they're going to do it again because they're addicted to that feeling. So I think that that is something somebody would need to seek help with, because it's not just about your current relationship. It's probably going to follow you for the rest of your life.
Okay. Along that same lines, then, is watching pornography cheating?
Absolutely not. I don't think that is. I don't think it's possible, because when somebody, for example, you and I have been married for a long time with the same men, you much longer than me. But there are always, you know, we always get into the feeling of, oh, I'm with the same person. It's the same thing's going on. And then that can change by within an hour of life that you spend with your partner, and all of a sudden you're feeling so happy and joyous with them, and then you just fall back into that need for them. And I think that sometimes that need that we have for our partners will wane. And sometimes it's zero to do with the other person. Most times it is. So, but that doesn't mean people don't want the sexual release that they get from masturbation, say. And if they need a visual aid, pornography would be the easiest way to do it versus going to peep at their neighbor, which again is a bad sign of other things. but I mean, also some people get upset, right? They were like, well, why don't you look at pictures I gave you of me? And, you know, and that's just it. Human nature, we're going to want a little variety. That's why we don't eat the same thing every day. But that doesn't mean that we're going to necessarily need to have the physical variety. The visual variety, I think, is a good thing. It's a good way to get out. And then a lot of times you walk away from that and you're like, I'm done with that. You know what I mean? Because you've already exploited that in yourself and you're like, I don't need that anymore.
Okay. So, yeah. All right. So there was a couple on Sex Education season 4, because that's about as far as I can remember the series. Because it's been so long for, you know, this show has been on since 2019. So there was a trans character, female to male. Okay. Yes. And this, they had already had top surgery. Now, they were called boyfriend. So they are taking on the male character. So I'm going to say him, the male role, the male gender role, male gender identity. So I'm going to say him. Okay. And his girlfriend, they were having trouble having sex. He was complaining that they just were not having it and he wanted to have sex. And she, his girlfriend, was not interested in having sex. And then they showed a scene with them. She went so far as to knock down a burning candle and burned a rug.
Yeah.
to get out of having sex with him.
Yeah.
So, you know, so they went to through the whole therapy situation, and they got more comfortable, and they had a successful coupling after that. But in the time that he was saying, I want to have sex and we're not having sex, there's the question becomes, how much sex should a healthy couple be having? Like, is it, if you started out having it 3 times a day and you get to the point that you're having it once a year or whatever, oh, from one end of the spectrum to the other, where did it become a bad number? Where did it become a not so good number where it's like you are not having enough sex?
Well, I don't think that this is the therapist that I'm channeling is saying here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there is a right number or a wrong number. Mm-hmm. I think what matters is the connection you have with your partner. So if you express that connection physically and in no other way, then I would definitely say you have to sit down and have a conversation and say, okay, where are we not connecting anymore? Because I don't feel the same closeness that we had. Or maybe we never had that closeness and we didn't get to know each other well enough and we were depending too much on the sexuality. And now when that it's gone, I realize I'm not sure what I have in this relationship, you see? So communication, there's Kevin.
Hey, so Kevin.
Communication. He's down there under the blanket now.
Kevin.
No, he's asleep. Okay. So yes, that is, that's what I would say to somebody. And, you know, in any situation, you have to consider what the other person's going through as well. If you have somebody who, say, took on a new job that tires them out completely, sex is very much a physical activity. So, yeah, you have to figure out what intimacy is for both of you and make sure you have the same reality on that. And try to figure out what you're going to need to do to help bring that back about. And if nothing, if you can't get the 3 times a day, but maybe it turns to 3 times a month or 3 times a year instead of the 1 time a year, at least make those times so impactful that you don't feel the need to have that interaction on a constant basis. A lot of people do use sex to experience connection with their partner because they are not open enough. And that was the situation with that couple. They were not open and honest enough with one another to know what the other one needed for that intimacy, not just sexually, but to really feel comfortable in communicating in this situation, that particular case, negative opinion about the other person. And it wasn't like horrific. It was just you have bad breath too often and I don't like it. So, I mean, and then for some people, it is true. Like they're too afraid to tell their partner those things. Mm-hmm. And it is difficult. It is difficult, especially if you have someone in the relationship who gets offended easily.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn that if you want someone to open up and be close to you, you have to be willing to open up and be close to them back. You have to be willing to be criticized, but not in a way that's nagging or putting the person down or making them feel bad or bullying. And just a way like, this is what's happening and this is how it's making me feel.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Dr. Jean Milburn, for coming on the show tonight and taking a few calls.
Well, I had a call for you. I want you to answer this question here.
Okay, well, ring me.
Okay, so phone's ringing for you. Ring, hello. Ring, ring.
Hello.
Yes, I have a question.
Okay, what's your question?
I would like to know, how do you introduce to your partner anal play?
Not the accent. Introduce to my partner anal play? You mean like butt play?
Correct. I had to bring this up, you guys. I had to get the level up.
My questions were too boring.
No, they were actually. I knew you were going to be very realistic with them, so I'm like, I'm going to throw something and some curveballs at her real quick.
Okay. Well, the Jean Milburn answer would be, not everyone is into anal play. So first, there must be a discussion. You must discuss whether or not you are into it, whether it's something that you'd be willing to explore together. You have to have both partners okay with the act first. It's not the sort of thing you want to spring on someone. So that was a scene in the show too.
It sure was.
It was sprung up on him. Yeah. So he enjoyed it, but it was sprung up on him. And Gene Milburn went into that is not the sort of thing you want to spring up on anyone. There should be, actually it was Otis that. And he used a phrase, consent, I don't remember what phrase he used, but he called it something. Assertive or aggressive. I don't remember. But anyway, it means it was proactive discussion, proactive something. So if it's something that you are interested in exploring, you need to have a conversation with your partner first and make sure that it's something they are interested in exploring too. And then you could talk about the aspect of it, who's giving, who's receiving, and you can talk about the mechanics that go into it, how it's going to be about, if you're going to use lube or if you're going to use, you know, spit, if it's going to be one finger or two, the preparation that goes into it. You want to make sure everything's clean down there. But if in the discussion phase they say no, that's the end of it. That's the end of it. There's no coercion. There is no trying to get the person to come around. Maybe you'll just like, if they say no, they're not interested, they're not interested. Move on to something else. If they like, well, I'm willing to try it, and you try it, and they don't want to do it again, then that's the end of that then. You know, you tried it and that's that. But you also want to make sure that you talk about if it's going to be objects involved, you want to, you know, show the object. You can make it something fun that you play with, you know, so it's not just, okay, this is what I'm going to use and pop it up there. You can make it part of the play.
The noise you made was perfect.
Do a little tease with it, you know, suck on it. I don't know. Make it more part of the seduction aspect of it instead of just like a tool. It's more of a pleasure device, you know, like not tool, you know, the perspective on it. You want to bring it into the play aspect and then just have fun. Like, don't make it where it's something that is so technical, like it's got to go in just this way. You know, have fun with it. Watch your partner, how they respond, if they have agreed to it, what excites them, what's turning them on about it, what's not turning them on. If it seems like they are not interested in it, even if they get started, then stop. Having some sort of other genitalia stimulation at the same time will help loosen it up a little bit more too. If they are really turned on, you're going to have a much easier time getting it in there than not. So you want to make sure that the stimulation on every, you know, on other parts does not stop. And you do everything to make sure your partner is relaxed. And as the partner that is receiving, you communicate via either your words or through moaning, or, you know, you let them know what you're enjoying and you speak up if you're not enjoying it. You don't just let something happen to you if you're not continuing to consent.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's what I'd say to that.
The only thing that you're missing is once it goes in that hole, it goes in nothing else.
That's right. Yes. It must be cleaned before it goes in anything else. You don't do the transfer. That ass to mouth thing is okay. Not ass to vagina.
There you go.
And
you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, and the reason for that, this is not a moral issue. This is the cleanliness.
Yes,
and you don't want to have feces. It has bacteria, and it can damage other areas if you can have infections and stuff like that. So you want to make sure first, and I did mention the preparation, but more technically, if you're depending on what kind of ass play, if you're going to get real serious about it, take an enema beforehand, cleanse it out, make sure everything is clean back there before you start really going at it. Yeah. Yeah. You want to make sure it's clean. And, but even still, you don't transfer. You don't go from one to the other. And, you know, and if it's the man, that is getting the ass play, you don't go take it from his ass to your ass.
No.
Once it's in one ass, that's it. Must be cleaned, or you must get a different device.
That's right.
Very, very true. Very true.
We are doing good here. I think we've had a thousand.
Yes. All right. Well, now we are officially licensed as sex therapists. High five.
Yeah.
Okay. We are also over time. Wow. That means I talked way too long with my answer.
Well, you know, it was all about the ass.
Ass play. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this. We probably took a little bit longer on our intro in the beginning. I'll start trying to let people know where our update is on what we've been up to, and then where we get into the review, and then where we get into the, but I'm not going to do that. That takes too much time. So I'm just going to say,
I'm not going to do it.
This is what's going to happen in this episode. You can fast forward if you don't want to hear the updates, but good luck trying to find out where it is. I don't have time to book. I could have been writing it down, but I didn't.
I get it. Well, thanks, everyone.
Bye. Thank you for listening. Let us know what you enjoy about it. And you know what? If you have some sex questions, shoot them to us.
Yeah.
And we might answer it at the next episode, even if we're just reviewing horror movies. Why not?
Yeah, that'd be funny. I mean, right. Maybe you have a serious question, though. We can't be serious.
Yeah. I mean, I just gave the play-by-play on the ass play. That's you can find that. If you Google it on the internet, it's probably laid out like that too. So why not?
Yeah,
right. We can answer it. All right. Well, until next time, dear.
All right, guys. Bye.
Thank y'all for listening and watching.